Good afternoon. Today is Friday, September the 13th. It certainly has been, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, just to cap it all off, we're joined this afternoon by Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods. Hey, guy.
Hey.
So, anything new in the last 24 hours in your life?
Well, I've got half a new boss coming. Eventually here.
And it's not necessarily an old new boss.
No. We'll see. Again, it's only 50%, so could be more.
It's just the exposed 50%, baby.
That's right. That's what I mean by the impact, right?
Oh, making an impact. Okay, that's not bad. We've got a bunch of different things to talk about. Obviously, there's been many medical responses needed in the city of Eureka over the last little bit for a real weird sense of what normalcy is around here. So we'll talk about that, and I'm sure we'll weave our way into other things, too, when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from, oh boy, there's so many here. I guess we'll go with Michael DiMonte. Yeah, right. Okay, an Italian guy a long time ago. Quote.
Machiavelli?
No, Machiavelli, I know. I embrace Machiavelli. A wise man sees as much as he ought, not as much as he can. Yeah.
Wow.
See, you didn't think I could bring it around to today's announcement, did you?
That's good.
Nailed it.
You must have been insider information. You must have been planning.
Yeah, you know how much planning I do. You betcha.
Yeah.
We're planning, right. Planning. That's our
exactly.
Game.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In case folks, I don't know, somehow managed to miss the announcement that's been going on all day long, Eureka's city manager, newly minted city manager, has tendered his resignation effective like 2 months from now.
Right.
So that was the reference to Ken having a new job or a new boss.
A new boss, 50% of a new boss.
And he's smiling, so apparently he's not particularly concerned.
Well, we always have to look towards the future and be optimistic about what we're doing. If we're doing a good job, then things will fall into place.
That's what the tree fallers say. Just thought I'd bring that
job
one up to you.
Yeah, the fire department, right.
Boy, has there been just a tremendous amount of weird in the last month?
There has. We don't get a lot of crossbow injuries normally, but we've had several of those. Vehicle accidents.
Several of those?
Well, we had the
There's
two,
more than that one
two.
Incident?
Yeah, there was the two from the incident.
Okay.
We had actually three vehicle accidents with extrications all within a 24-hour period. Our chances to use our extrication equipment are much slimmer than that on a normal basis. Normally it's a couple times a month or less, and to have three within a 24-hour period is pretty extreme.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that that would be something that you would have on the acquisition list, the need to have three of them.
Yeah,
just because,
right, right.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah, it's a lot at once.
So there seems to be, most of us, we hear crossbow and we think medieval.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking Knights of the Round Table. We're
right.
Thinking of guys having to stretch out to snap this thing in place and firing an arrow that not only doesn't waver, but can penetrate through pretty darn near anything.
Yeah.
But others have been saying, well, that's a crossbow, but that isn't the type of crossbow that are being used, sold now. I guess, without getting too gory.
Definitely, they both shoot an arrow. Our victims on that scene, it did some significant damage, as we know, and you know, to get in that many shots with effective hits, and it creates a real concern for our firefighters, because we go out to a scene, we've got people that are obviously injured in a way we're not used to dealing with, and
so it's not a puncture wound.
It is a puncture wound, but it's a different kind of puncture wound completely, because it does much more damage than your average, you know, step on a nail or something like that, or the typical puncture wounds we see. So injuries are much more significant. And again, the safety aspect of where is the shooter, and trying to treat people, yet at the same time worry and watch your back about who's around behind you.
You may not hear that one coming.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, and the helmets don't protect you from everything.
Well, it's because you don't have that nose guard thing.
No,
you know?
That's it.
Go ahead, bring that one up at the staff meeting. Guys, we need new gear.
Yeah, Brian's buying nose gear.
So a crossbow bow, a compound bow, the arrow's over a certain length. Is that what we're talking about with these
things? Yeah, you know, I can't give you the specifics on the actual length of what it was, but we had, you know, an arrow that entered a person's skull and came out through the top, then significant injuries, one in a shoulder, one in a leg area. And again, a volume of injuries, and then significant injuries of a type we're not normally dealing with.
So when you guys, the troops, are confronted with something like that, I'm sure, mm-hmm. you know, how about a mace ball? I mean, or, yeah, there's... The javelin catch,
right.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
There's a bunch of them that you don't want to really
no.
run into too often.
No.
But when you're confronted with something like that, and this obviously was a fatal situation, so it's a little, mm-hmm. little different. But if the person who was wounded was still alive,
mm-hmm.
how do you deal with something you don't deal with?
Yeah, you go back to your basic training and what we call the ABCs. You know. Airway, breathing,
always
circulation.
Be closing.
Yeah, that's a later program.
Oh, okay,
commercial
okay.
break. But you do resort to your basics, and you're going to be obviously checking to see if they're breathing, if the heart is working. You're going to try to control the bleeding. Again, at the same time, you want to be aware of your surroundings so that you're not putting yourselves and your other firefighters in jeopardy. Working closely with law enforcement, and they had a situation there where the injuries had occurred, the individuals had disappeared, and we just had to watch our backs out there.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 324. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, in addition to the crossbow, and it really sounds goofy in our small little part of the world to say, in addition to.
Yeah,
but
a side note, right?
Yeah, in addition to, we've had shootings, stabbings,
right.
A number of different other, mm-hmm. and I'll say drug-related and be safe, events in our area.
Machete attack?
Yeah, that one was kind of interesting also. Just for giggles, because I had an interesting comment made by a fellow who's kind of in the information loop. His retort was meth and heroin cost.
Hmm.
And I tend to bristle at that. I think it's an oversimplification, and I think that there is more marijuana involved than anything else, and the others are the barter drugs. of the culture.
Right. I would say those, alcohol as well, as we see on a regular basis.
Well, we're going to get to the DUI crashes later. Come on, man, give me a break.
But, you know, those are the regular ones. The normal ones we see is the alcohol. But, yeah, I think the marijuana is huge, and obviously in the area. And the effects then go into all those things we're talking about here. And to say just heroin or meth, you're broaching a wide spectrum of different causes here.
When you guys have been responding to some of these medical aids, are you running into more drug houses? If the drug houses kind of, is it a constant? Is it pulling back a little bit, some of the stuff PG&E is doing? I know it's only in Arcata right now, but is that kind of, are you seeing a pushback? What are you seeing when you guys are responding to these drug houses or grow houses,
I guess? We see the grow houses, and it's almost more cyclical for us. We haven't had as many structure fires recently as in the past, but we've had a number of structure fires, of course, related to marijuana grows. And it kind of ebbs and flows, and it may be based on, you know, when the growing is taking place and when they're doing different activities in the structures. But it overall, over a year's period, it's pretty constant. They're happening. We do see fires from them, and the effects, they continue. We're not seeing those disappear or anything at all.
Now that you're an experienced old goof in the area,
I'm qualified.
Yeah. What percent do you think of the homes we all drive by in the city of Eureka or the adjacent are grow houses? Or let me say it differently. Are growing marijuana?
It's a significant number, and to actually put a percentage would be tough. But you know, obviously, as you drive down the streets, and for us, as we're doing on a regular basis, where you can smell the grows on frosty mornings, where houses don't have any frost on the roofs, there's a reason why, and those are some good identifiers. Easily for us to see what's going on, but it's a significant number that we suspect that are out there. We do get the calls for electric meters that are hot to the touch because they're spinning so fast because the electrical consumption on them, and you know those tend to lead to other electrical problems in the structure themselves down the road with just time.
Now you guys aren't permit enforcers.
No, well we can through the fire code. And we work with the building department. When we see unsafe wiring, things of that nature, then we can take some action, you know, along those lines.
When you gather with either the, probably not that unique with the state, but with your buddies in the region or throughout the country, and you tell them about our area,
do they
believe?
They don't. They don't. And, you know, a few years ago when we talk about these things and the number of fires that we were responding to related to marijuana grows, there was no comprehension at all. They had no understanding, and they're starting to now in other parts of the country where they're beginning to see more grows. But, you talk to people from the Midwest and other departments, and they had no idea. How could people be growing marijuana? And just the comprehension wasn't there in houses. But now it's starting to spread all over the nation. A number of the fire periodicals have done articles on indoor marijuana grows. And it's a real hazard for firefighters because we go in, we're expecting a normal house with normal furnishings in it.
Are you able to now? When you bust through open whatever, you know, come down the chimney into a house, do you expect not to hit one? Or do you expect to hit one and then are pleasantly surprised if you don't?
We're very much aware that we should not expect a normal structure with normal furnishings inside. That the situational awareness to take a look and see what you have outside, you know, do you have the windows that are covered? Do you have what looks like someone hasn't been living there? And then based on that, you know, you're already at an awareness level that things may be different than what you would normally encounter in a structure, so that when you do go in and you run immediately into a wall that would normally be a hallway or something like that, with ducting, electrical wiring, fans, lighting. Again, the safety concern, the safety problems that come with that for us are huge. Firefighters get entangled in those things, and we're trying to put the fire out, and you're in a different kind of environment, but it's a different mindset. But we need to be, and we are constantly thinking about those kind of things when we do go to fires.
Or just walk neighborhoods?
Yeah, when we're out and about and doing our regular inspections and looking at structures.
Or fire hydrants or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it may be. Right.
By the way, you haven't seen any water trucks in Eureka pulling up to fire hydrants, have you?
not lately, no.
KINS, News and Information Time, 3:30.
This is the final weekend to get a free iComfort box spring or $1,000 off any iSeries adjustable foundation at Burns Furniture. Don't miss this super savings opportunity when you buy any iComfort or iSeries mattress at Burns. Get a Serta Perfect Sleeper Queen mattress set for just $399 too. But the savings absolutely end after Sunday. Get to Burns Furniture for the free iComfort box spring offer or the $1,000 discount on an adjustable foundation. Burns Furniture.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, you mentioned the amount of extrications that you guys have had in the last 10 days.
Right, last weekend.
Is that something that you guys see in trends like you were seeing trends in some other areas, or does it just kind of happen and you go, huh?
Yeah, those are more so just kind of happen. We don't. As I say, this past weekend was very rare. To have three in a 24-hour period was very surprising for us. We do not get that many extrication calls. And, again, it's location, speed, type of vehicle, all those things weigh into what we're going to be cutting and demolishing when we go to a vehicle accident and how we're trying to get the victims out.
Oh, boy, that opened up a door. I'm just going to have a little fun now. Well, I was thinking, you said, you know, it depends on the kind of vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We both don't tend to drive the small little fuel-efficient hybrid vehicles.
Right.
One of our rigs gets into a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Easier to get somebody out of or more difficult?
Actually, it's a little bit easier. When you have the more room, you have, you know, larger crumple zones on the vehicle. You have more room for the passenger inside. And we have more room when we're dealing with a shape that's been compacted and downsized. When you're dealing with something bigger, then it's easier for us to, you know, find a way into the vehicle and use our extrication equipment. The newer vehicles, a lot of them are compact, using very high-strength steel, state-of-the-art technologies there, and those can create problems for us as well. Hybrids with battery-operated, different than the combustion engines, airbags, just a number of different things that, as technology evolves, we need to evolve, our training needs to evolve. And, for instance, in electrical vehicles, you know, we don't just want to start cutting electrical cables in different places and airbags in places that we never knew would be before, side curtains, in the headrests, things like that. So it's a learning.
Side curtains, there's enough space to sleep in those things?
Side curtain airbags.
Okay, for those of us that are driving big boy trucks,
okay, so
what are you talking about?
So you're sitting in your passenger seat of your vehicle, and next to you, next to your head on the right side, above the window area along the side, there are airbags in there that will activate.
Up above the ceiling lining?
Yeah, and on the side. And those airbags activate and form a cushion so that your head is not going and hitting the window and in an accident. So there's,
so it's like a pillow?
Yeah.
Kind of
it's, well, it's, an, yeah, it's a regular airbag, and it, you know, obviously ignites very quickly and inflates very quickly. But airbags all over the vehicles. Now they're in the backs of headrests, in fact, for passengers behind. We have batteries that were normally under the hood. Well, now some of them are under the back seat. They're in the trunk. There's a number of different batteries. They're not just in one place. So it's a challenge. We need, when we pull up on scene of a vehicle accident, we need to do a good investigation of what type of vehicle is involved. And, you know, what's the combustion system? Is it just gas? Is it electric? Is it natural gas? All the different types of things we have to deal with.
Is a, I guess we just say one of the fuel efficient cars, because there's so many different combinations. Are they more combustible? I mean, you mentioned fuel and electricity, and I'm thinking, boy, that's a wonderful partnership.
Yeah.
we try to stay away from that.
You know, overall, the vehicle is steel, fiberglass, a lot of plastics materials. So the vast majority are a lot of the same types of components, so they're not more combustible necessarily. But there's different ways we can get hurt, and we can hurt somebody in the vehicle when we're performing an extrication and trying to get them out of the vehicle. And that's really what we're looking at.
With all the wide variety of vehicle styles that there are now, I still don't figure out those squares that go driving around. Do you guys have access to schematics? I mean, as you're pulling up, is somebody tappity-tappity on the laptop and pulling the vehicle schematics up so you can
see?
We
don't have time for that, but we're continually training and updating, getting information from manufacturers. Some of the car manufacturers are very good at putting out new information on new technology. Toyota's a good one that puts out information on a regular basis that we can access. And, you know, that's something we're continually looking at. And then when we do see trends, okay, here's a new type of airbag that's out there, or a new type of, combustion system, then we want to get information. We want to find out as much as we can quickly so that we may have to deal with one that day and encounter it and how we're going to take it apart.
Blow real hard. The survivability. I've always been stunned.
Right.
You know, you're not up as high as I am. I'm up a little bit higher, and there's others that are jacked up significantly higher. Mm-hmm. I've always thought that those smaller, lower to the ground cars, the mortality rate has got to be significantly higher, just because they're hitting things that we don't.
We don't.
Or they're getting hit in different places instead of being on the floorboard or on the side rail. In our cases, it's coming through the side door.
Yeah, and it is really amazing some of the vehicle accidents we do go to where, you know, the car is just completely mangled and crushed, and the people are absolutely fine because of the safety features in the vehicle. And whether it be the, you know, the airbag systems, the crumple zones, those types of things, the high-tension steels that they're using, cars are definitely much more safer, and we are seeing less probably severity. As I said, you know, we had 3 extrications, which is rare for us, and speed plays a big factor in that. But we're continually surprised that people get up and walk away out of vehicles that we didn't think there was any way. These people are going to be, we pull up on scene, they're going to be significantly hurt, and they're not.
KINS, News and Information Times, 342. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods from Hobble Bay Fire. The Coastal Commission decision yesterday to allow, and I know I'll get played with on this one, but for me, the hump in Indianola. That's what I'm thinking of it as. Part of that can also include getting rid of some of the cross medians.
Right.
As well as putting in a stoplight on the highway. I got to believe that you're jumping up and down, tickled beyond belief that there's going to be another stoplight that your rigs have to anticipate as you're responding to something on the safety corridor.
Yeah, definitely creates a different dynamic for us, particularly when you're at highway speed and then you know this is up ahead and you're, you know, depending on where you're responding to, it really slows us down. And, you know, then you have obviously the traffic at different times of the day that's going to back up there depending on whether it's morning, afternoon, you know, people going home. So it, again, creates issues for us that we have to be aware of. We have to take in consideration when we're responding to medical calls, and it's seconds that make a difference for life and death. And these things, they do add time to our travel time.
Have you had a chance to do any projections?
Well, not yet. We have looked at in the past when there was talk of putting speed bumps out on Freshwater Road, for instance, looked at a number of studies that have been done around the country, and basically the average we saw was that a speed bump adds about another 19 seconds travel time for everyone. So you put a number of those together, you know, then you're talking significant time, and you're talking minutes in people's lives so the brain can survive due to lack of oxygen, and you're then adding significant time onto our response. So yeah, it's a concern for us always as we maneuver around town.
So as you close your eye, in your mind's eye, mm-hmm. you're seeing this thing out there by the airport. The view shed certainly is significantly broader than it is in a lot of other areas where you guys
right.
are responding to.
It is.
The sound, okay, you know, unless it's really foggy, probably is going to stand out as much, if not a little bit more. Will that allow your guys to blow through there? As I'm sure it's going to have one of the fancy intersection things where you guys can control it.
Yeah, well, we can, and that's what we're, of course, putting those in around town at the stoplights, the traffic preemption devices, which allow us to turn the lights to green. And yeah, we would definitely want one out there. Again, you have to be aware of traffic, and hopefully in the normal situation with those types of devices, it does change the light to green in the direction we're going, and it opens up traffic to keep it flowing. But you know, people are not always paying attention, and people hear sirens, they do have a tendency at times to panic and go to the left instead of the right. And again, we just can't be blowing through town and running at top speed. Those engines take a long time to stop due to their weight, and it's a concern.
You got about 30 seconds. DUIs, you had a number of, what, 8 of them yesterday or last night were reported. Are you seeing a prevalence of it? Are you just seeing more of it in general, or?
I think we're seeing more of it in general. And again, it's not just driving, but it's walking. We're seeing a number of individuals that are intoxicated that are being involved in pedestrian vehicle accidents. We just had the other one the other day on 5th and R, where a pedestrian walked out right in front of a motorcycle. And we're just seeing a number of them, and they are increasing.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
Let's see if we can catch a break this weekend, huh?
We'll give it a try. Thanks.
Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you love. See you tomorrow morning.